Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep and Havlicek steals it.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley. They got Akeem on Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for
Welcome
joining
back
us
to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. Find me
pending.
On Twitter at BPriest24. I'm joined today by Tommy Girone. Tommy, how are you?
Good.
Super enthusiastic, a man of words and wisdom. And Josh Keel's joining us again today.
I am also good.
Happy. What is it, the guy's name in Big Mouth, Caleb, that can't read emotions?
Furious. Yes, I know.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about the Eastern Conference Central Division. Josh is going to be covering this one for us. Tommy and I, well, I'll jump in with witty banter, and Tommy will use one word catchphrases every once in a while.
Sports.
Yeah, that's one of them.
You want to turn your chime there down?
It should. Unprofessional.
You forgot to tell people you can find Tommy at Ruthless Lupe and me at Rise and Chow.
Well, I figured you guys would do that yourselves, but
you can.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
are you new?
You can find me at Rise and Chow, RYSENSHOUT. That's on Twitter.
Yeah, it
you
is.
You can find me on Twitter at Ruthless Lupe. That's RUTHLESS_LUPE.
Bow, 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 bow.
When he made that title, he never thought he'd be spelling it out so much. It's lots of letters.
Yeah, it is an awful lot of letters. But the underscore is a nice touch.
Spaces them out.
I'm a big fan of an underscore, honestly.
Absolutely.
So, as I said, talking about the Central Division today, Josh, go ahead and take it away. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Dumpster fires.
They are the most important.
Absolutely.
They have a coach named Jim Beilein. That's a new pickup. He used to coach at Michigan. Took Michigan to multiple Final Fours. I think they hired him because they got a lot of young guys.
Was it you telling me last week that Beilein has never had, has only been a head coach at every level?
Yep, when he was at West Virginia, that's where I heard the story, was on a broadcast. But he started out at the high school level and was only a head coach, worked his way up, worked at a junior college, then got to West Virginia. And so they were talking about it because his plays have funny names, because he never adopted a play from someone else. So instead of running like a curl and calling it a curl, he called it like French fries. Because that's how he could remember it, was like curly French fries. So his play French fries is like a down screen and a curl at the top of the key. And
that doesn't make sense. He should have called it Arby's.
Something like that.
Mm. Horsey sauce.
Horsey sauce. But, yeah, so anyway.
You know, in high school?
Yeah. That's what they called you, right?
A couple times they called me horsey sauce. It was a bad weekend.
Knew it.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know
about
you.
How long did they call you that in high school?
Well, it was a summer by the lake, and they were calling me horsey sauce. This was, shoot. I mean, it was probably only 2 or 3 weeks, but.
It was just two very disappointed females.
I'm not. All right, so Cleveland Cavaliers.
A little bite to you, huh?
All right, so the Cavaliers have Jim Beilein. And
strong start.
They added Darius Garland, Dylan Windler, and Kevin Porter Jr. When I heard Kevin Porter Jr., I was like, oh no, is Michael Porter Jr. play for them, not for the Nuggets? And I did some, you know, more research, because I was like,
a different Porter Jr.
Totally different Porter Jr.'s, but that's a, you know, it's a unique enough name that I was like, Porter Jr., my goodness. So
my goodness, he says.
My goodness.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, could someone turn off their phone? Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate that, buddy.
It was my phone.
It was
my
exclusive Ruthless Lupe beat there on the phone. All right.
On the ones and twos.
So I think we don't don't do the starting five, we do the closing five. And I think their closing five is going to be Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and CeeDee Osmond.
So how do you see Darius Garland as a rookie, Colin Sexton coming into a second year? Both point guards, both offense first point guards. How do they play well together?
Who knows? Hopefully they got a coach that that can work that in. I mean, that's why they got Beilein. It's because he's going to teach them how to be professionals. He's going to teach them how to be point guards, how to be an off guard, hopefully be able to get one of them to buy into the position of maybe not bring the ball up every time. But having two ball handlers always helps, especially because, you know, it's becoming more and more a guard-driven league.
Yeah.
And so being able to have more ball handlers out there is going to be helpful. You know, Kevin Love, theoretically, still a shooter. He, you know, he's a big guy who can kind
of
shoot.
I like that you say theoretically, because it's a spot on assessment of Kevin Love's game at this point.
Yeah, you know, you got Tristan Thompson to get rebounds. So, you know, who knows how they're going to be? I mean, my prediction would be terrible is how they're going to be. That
awful.
Even in the East, they're gonna make other teams look good. You know, like that bad. So their best case is that Jim teaches well and they improve. And the worst case is that somehow they catch on fire and they don't get the number one draft pick next year. And, you know, they maybe are the 10th worst team instead of the 12th worst team in the East. So, you know, I don't see good things for them. They're just killing time till LeBron James buys the team.
So not a playoff team.
Not a playoff team. I don't not see quite. The playoffs for them.
What do you mean? They have a bunch of professional athletes. How are they not a playoff team?
Because they're not like the state of Utah that lets every football team go to the playoffs, so that's why they don't make the playoffs.
So you mentioned Kevin Love a little bit. Do you think they're going to be able to trade him? I'm looking at his contract right now. He's starting the first season of his four-year extension. Yeah. He's scheduled to make $28.9 million, $31 million, $31 million, and then another $28.9 million over the next 4 years.
I don't even know if they could trade him to like one of the Greek teams or a team in Israel. That's a terrible contract for an over-the-hill player who doesn't bring much to the table.
I bet you there's a team out there, though, that'll be like, oh, Kevin Love?
Rebounds yeah, that's the thing. Shots. In the NBA, you see over and over contracts like, who would have thought that Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul could have been traded? They ended up being traded for each other, a bad contract for a bad contract. But there's always somebody in, you know, January that thinks they're good and let's take a swing for the fences. Portland is a team I've thought that could be a Kevin Love destination. He's from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, you'd have
looks
to
like Sasquatch.
Pour over contracts to find an equally terrible contract to trade. Like, the only reason Chris Paul and Russ Westbrook could get traded is because they both existed. If either one of them hadn't had as terrible a contract, then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to find something like that where it's 4 years. That sounded like $100 million on Kevin Love for some other, you know, either combination of players or picks or whatever that some other team wants. But 4 years for Kevin Love seems like a large commitment.
Yeah.
Other than LeBron James, I don't know what general manager would want to trade for Kevin Love for 4 years.
It's kind of wild at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Next, the Bulls.
We'll move on to this.
The Bulls.
Yeah. They lost Robin Lopez. Pour some out for Robin. And then
notorious mascot beater.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the videos of Robin Lopez taking out mascots?
Robin Lopez is big-haired Lopez, not short-haired Lopez.
Fact.
Yep. Okay.
And is he the better of the Lopezes?
No. But he's probably a little bit better defensively, and he's Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. Brooks is the better shooter, though.
Brooke is a better shooter, but when the Jazz played the Bucks in the preseason, Robin Lopez was shooting threes, so that'll be interesting to watch. But I think defensively that is a big loss for the Bulls.
Scientifically, once one identical twin learns something, doesn't the other one also learn it?
I mean, let's ask the Morris brothers, the Mori.
Exactly. Would these be the Lopi as well then, since they end in a S sound?
Yeah, I like that.
The Lopi.
The Lopi.
All right. So they picked up Kobe White, Daniel Gafford, Luke Kornet, and Otto Porter. Two of these players I view as making a difference. Otto Porter was good when he was with Washington. He can shoot a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was good with the Bulls after they acquired him
at
the trade deadline.
Yeah, so he'll be good. Kobe White is the little short person with big hair that played at North Carolina last year. He's, you know, 5'11 with his hair. He's going to be quick. Who knows if he'll be able to, absorb the pounding of being a point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, he is kind of slight of frame. 6'5", 185 pounds.
Yeah, he's just a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
But But he was good, and he was a good leader. He wasn't a one and done at North Carolina, so he stuck around and got some experience. He's got a chance. I think their closing five will be Tom Satoransky, Levine, Wendell Carter, Otto, and Markkanen until Kobe White figures something out.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like going into the beginning of the season, like the top three, threes,
mm-hmm.
they're out. Like looks like Thaddeus Young might be starting in that three spot for the season, the beginning of the season, from what I see on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. Injuries are going to be a concern. I look at this team and they have talent. They have the Bulls are really hard to predict. I think they could be a playoff team, but I wonder who's going to play defense.
Right, and that's actually my worst case scenario is that they can't play defense. They have too many injury prone guys, and that they're just a top five pick because they don't play defense.
Yeah.
The best case is that they just push the pace, don't have to play defense, score a bunch because they got good scores on their team.
Yeah.
And they can maybe make up for what they can't defend with just the ability to score. That'll be tough in their division because the Central is going to be, in my opinion, will probably have three teams in the playoffs. And so,
yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're going to be one of those three teams.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season for the Bulls. I think it's kind of it's a make or break type of year. They've got a lot of young guys that have had some experience, two or three years in the league, and it's, you know, either you're going to contribute or the Bulls are going to have to kind of tear it down again, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's been a long tear down so far. They haven't come back up since the heyday of Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. So
Right. We'll
see how that goes.
Right. And even that was, you know, getting 4 and 5 seeds in the East, not really like a heyday, just, you know, making the playoffs.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerome, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
All right, speaking of another team that had to tear it down and build back up, the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
They added Derrick Rose, Markieff Morris, and Tommy Frazier, and Tony Snell. And they got rid of Ish Smith, Jose Calderon, Wayne Ellington, and Jaja Pachulia.
Zaza.
So ankles are safe in the Central again.
Which is always nice.
It is nice. So I feel like those are some good additions. I mean, those guys plus, another guy they added was Joe Johnson.
Yeah, also yeah, they just picked up Joe Johnson. Big three MVP.
Big three MVP, yep.
Wait, Slow-Mo Joe?
Slow-Mo Joe.
Not Slow-Mo Joe. ISO Joe.
Oh, ISO Joe.
Slow-Mo Joe plays for the Jazzes.
I'm counting it.
Do you think he's Slow-Mo Joe still?
He's not
Fast Mojo.
He's
I'll give you that.
Joe.
Have you watched Joe Johnson play in the last couple of years?
He's methodical.
Methodical is a very nice way to put it. I like it.
Thank you. All right. So I think the closing five will be D-Rose. I'm putting Joe Johnson in there because of his methodicalness, and I think... You
methodicalness,
know,
is that a word?
Yeah, Google it. It's definitely
maybe
a word. Methodicality, is that better?
Yeah, no, I like that.
And then Drummond, Griffin, and Tony
going.
Snell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Drummond's super old school, you know, plays center, actual center.
Yeah, and Drummond's trying to get a new contract, and it doesn't sound like the Pistons want to pay him max money just because of his style of play.
Right.
Kind of a dinosaur in the league, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But he's still getting you, like, boards.
Hey, I mean, he puts up numbers, but have you ever seen him shoot a three? I think he broke about a half dozen backboards shooting threes last year. It was rough.
Yeah, and that's the problem is with the change of the style of play, you know, it'd be like putting Steph Curry on the Bulls in 92. Like, he's mm-hmm. just going to get shoved around too much. He can't do what he does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Drummond can't. He can't exist the way he exists and still be successful for that long.
Yeah.
I feel like is what the Pistons are thinking. Like, oh, he can still put up points, but he's not the net gain for us on both ends that we need him to be.
Yeah.
If he's going to be a max player, he can still get paid a bunch of money, but just not a max deal.
We don't even think defensively he's
worth the contract either. Like, they'd be hurting defensively, too, if they lost Drummond.
He's definitely a big body. He blocks some shots, puts up numbers that way. But I don't know. It just...
Like, does Rudy shoot a three? Rudy Gobert?
I'm not saying that he should or shouldn't be shooting threes. It's just that his style of play... It just doesn't match with the league, and he's too big.
Well, I think you in the league, you should have at least one player like that. Like I mean, defensively, yeah. It just helps out. Like, offensively or not, granted, we're getting into an era where, you know, offense is defense. You mm-hmm. guys, like, the defense is very, like, besides the Jazz, who else plays defense in the NBA?
So, like, best defense is a good offense?
Pretty much.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. I don't want to sound like I'm too down on Andre Drummond. I just, for me, it just comes down to how much are you willing to pay him?
Right.
Like, if you're only going to be getting defense and rebounds, which is great. I don't want to sell that short, but is that worth $20, $25 million a year? I think not. You can get that production at a much smaller price tag from other guys.
Like, he's a slightly better Steven Adams.
Gives
you that stuff, but would you pay max money for Steven Adams? Because that's where Drummond ends up. He's a little bit better at offense, but mostly what you're getting is a big dude who can get rebounds and play defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So best case for these guys is that everything comes together. They play in a weak Eastern Conference, so someone's got to make the playoffs, and they might be one of them. And the worst case is that they just signed old people, and they're geriatric and can't make the playoffs because of that. But they also signed guys who are good enough to keep them in contention for the playoffs all year.
Yeah.
And so they're just stuck in no man's land where they neither make the playoffs nor get a high lottery pick.
So one question for you about the Pistons before we move on. Blake Griffin, mm-hmm. he put up an all NBA type season last year, but again, dealt with injuries.
Yep.
As the season started to wind down, he only played in two of the playoff games against the Bucks.
Right.
Can he stay healthy? Is he a guy that his best days are behind him? Can he carry this team?
I don't know if he can carry the team for the whole time. Like, maybe he's a good case for the Kawhi Leonard load management system,
mm-hmm.
where you sit him out. You know he's going to get injured. You know when he's playing well, he can make a difference, but he can't play well for 82 games a year.
Yeah.
So you just plan games for him not to play. I think you're going to start to see that with a lot of players of his sort, where you're not sure that they're durable enough to make it the whole season. And mm-hmm. so you just use that Kawhi Leonard model to keep him healthy for the playoffs, because it doesn't make a difference if he plays, you know, five games against the Bucks versus two games against the Bucks. I don't know, because mm-hmm. it's the Bucks. But
yeah, you're going to lose that series either way, but you hate to see the second best player in the series not being able to participate.
Right. And was it worth it playing him in January against Atlanta when you couldn't play him against the Bucks in the playoffs? Like, that's a no-brainer. You just trade out that game.
Well, I know Tommy had a lot to say about the Hawks. What do you think? All right, what do we got next, Josh?
Next is the Pacers. The Indiana Pacers. So they lost Thaddeus Young. They lost Bojan Bogdanovic. They lost Corey Joseph, and they lost Kylo Quinn from Ireland. But they added Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, TJ Warren, TJ McConnell, and Justin Holiday.
So it brought in a lot of scoring.
Tons of scoring.
On the guard line.
And they still had Vic Oladipo, who's a good defender.
Yeah, but Oladipo's hurt. He's not expected to play until at least December, maybe longer. Like, there's not even a timeline on his return yet.
They don't know when they're getting Oladipo back.
I mean, he tore his...
He ruptured
his quad. Yeah. And that's an injury you don't see. I don't know how you recover from that. It's very uncommon.
Lots of leg extenders.
No idea what to expect from that.
Put some CBD on it. He'll be fine.
CBD.
Is that legal in Indiana?
There's like a cream you can rub on it that heals everything.
We'll call up Barry Bonds, cream in the clear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
you guys see Oladipo's head? It's getting really big.
Did he gain 40 pounds this offseason with an injury? That's weird. So when Oladipo comes back, let's assume he can walk again.
Yeah.
Their closing five will be Brogdon and Vic and Miles Turner and TJ Warren and Lil Sabonis.
That's a good defensive lineup.
It is. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like, they added all that offense. They're kind of like the Jazz. Last year they were all defense, mm-hmm. so they had to go get some offense. And then, ironically, the Jazz stole their little bit of offense, and so they had to go get Malcolm Brogdon to replace that shooting. And so then, now, they still have a good defensive lineup. It's just they got to get those other guys in to score. So they're going to be trading lineup for lineup, scoring for shooting, and mixing and matching. That's where it's going to come down to coaching. But I think best case, Brogdon comes in and scores a whole bunch, and their defense carries over, and they get closer. They could be maybe 3 seed in the East. And then worst case is Victor struggles to come back from his injury. The CBD oil doesn't take, and he it's just too much for him to overcome. And then they're a lower seed in the East, or maybe they don't even make the playoffs because Vic had to take a year off.
Yeah.
So what's their closing five if Vic doesn't come back? If they take it to the point where there's like,
same,
sit out this year.
Same, but put TJ McConnell in as point guard.
So you've got McConnell closing over like a guy like Jeremy Lamb?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, that's interesting. So something I've seen in the news over the weekend is sounds like the Pacers and Baby Sabonis are far apart on a contract extension. So yeah. There's some talk that they might be looking to deal Sabonis at some point, right, too, and that could really change the dynamic with the team.
There's your Kevin Love trade. Little Sabonis for Kevin Love, and then you get a big guy for a big guy and some shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I could see that.
And then let Cleveland deal with the problem. And that might even be better for Cleveland because they would only have a one-year guy. I mean, I was saying that as a joke, but if you think about it, if the – Pacers really thought that they were going to – the next 3 years is their window, and Kevin Love is a shooting enough person to help them. They could get him. They could get rid of Sabonis. Sabonis' contract expires, so you're just cutting tons of money off the Cavs' lack of trade of salary cap, and then he can go on to greener pastures, and the Pacers would have stocked up on big guys.
That's an interesting scenario. That's one I hadn't really thought of, but I can see it as a potential matchup if they can match up those contracts. That's the tough part, as we discussed with Kevin Love.
Yeah, and then with their contracts, it would have to be Kevin Love for a little Sabonis and then like three guys we've never heard of on the end of the bench or their G League just to get to the $20 million a year or whatever he's got to make.
29. And I think they have to get like within 15% of that dollar value. So it'll be interesting.
And then the last team is the 60-22 Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee. Yep.
They lost.
Algonquin.
Yeah.
I think it actually is Algonquin, isn't it?
Sure.
I think so.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
More confidence. All right. So they lost Malcolm Brogdon to the inner division rival.
Underrated Pacers. Loss. A lot of people haven't been talking about that like they should.
Yeah, I think they basically had four really good scorers last year, right? Middleton, Bledsoe, Antetokounmpo, and Brogdon. And then you cut one of them out. And then you're hoping to replace him, I guess, with Kyle Korver, Wesley Matthews, and Robin Lopez, and Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
You got to love Thanasis. If you get two Antetokounmpos.
I think the Antetokounmpos are just like the Infinity Stones. You get them all, you're going to win.
That's true.
You know, you make a good
point. How many more Antetokounmpos are there?
Well, the Lakers have one.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so there's three in the league right now.
So I think their closing five is going to be Bledsoe, Wes Matthews, Brooks Lopez, Shorthead Lopez, Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I know his name's Giannis, but it's spelled Giannis, and we're in America.
You bring that red hat with you, too?
You wore a red hat, not me.
Kostas Antetokounmpo with the Lakers.
How did we not guess that? Best case scenario, they get over the hump and they face one of the Los Angeleses in the finals. And the worst case is that this is another Budenholzer one-hit wonder, and they lost too much from Brogdon leaving, and Giannis gets distracted because he might be leaving next season, and this is the beginning of mediocrity for the Bucks.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a worst-case scenario.
It's the worst-case scenario.
Quite far-fetched.
I don't think that will happen. That's
not
my prediction.
I don't see any reason they don't win 60 again in the East.
Just the worst-case scenario.
So what is your prediction?
That they're going to win their division, and they'll probably be one or two in the East. Kind of depend on what the Sixers look like, if Ben Simmons can really shoot or not.
I mean, not to talk too much about other teams, but the Bucks and the Sixers, I think it's really interesting, the lineups that they have that in a lot of ways go against what the NBA has turned into because they're so big.
Yeah.
You know, the Bucks have the Lopez brothers, they're going to have 48 minutes of centers. I think they're going to have lineups where they have 3 7-footers on the floor with both Lopez brothers. They'll put Antetokounmpo at the small forward. I don't even know how you match up with that.
Right.
They're going to be really tough. And the same with the Sixers. They're going to have 4 5-man lineups with everybody over 6'10".
Yeah.
Like, those teams are going to be huge, but it'll be interesting to watch.
Yep. So that's what we got for the Central in the East.
Okay, so that's going to wrap us up with the Central Division, and stay tuned. Later this week, we'll be releasing our playoff prediction episode and talking about some of our predictions for the NBA Awards. Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending. Find me on Twitter, Brian Priest at bpriest24. Tommy Jerome, where you at?
At Ruthless Lupe, that's RUTHLESS_LUPE.
And Josh Keel.
Rise and Shout, RYSENSHOUT.
Beautiful. Thanks for tuning in.